This is On the Hour at Christmas. Mary, Joseph, and the news.
On the Hour. Such is politics.
It's a painful business.
On the Hour.
What you mustn't do in politics is listen to people.
It's a painful business.
On Radio 4. Such is politics.
I think it is increasingly accepted that a country cannot pursue policies.
I think we're extremely unwise to raise this question.
But Mr. Scargill didn't have the floor with him.
On the Hour with Christopher Morris.
And I am here. The top stories on the day the world was saved.
The headlines.
7 million Italians in elastic bishop stampede. Left-wing footballer shoots cat. And expandable fruit in creeping neck unpleasantness.
On the Hour.
Plus, coming up, why Christmas this year has gone with a bang for the people of Reading.
It was about 20 miles away. You could hear it very loudly. For two very loud bangs, one after the other. Then one of the reindeer landed very near me on my mother.
And in our regular feature, It's Your Mouth, we feature public opinion on animal cruelty.
What do you think of shooting horses?
Well, one hardly shoots horses for sport.
What does one do it for?
Presumably, only if necessary.
And who should they be shot at?
Well, presumably a qualified veterinary surgeon.
And a very full Christmas, especially to you. The main story this morning. Northamptonshire County Council has admitted that the village of Spratton has been lost. The disappearance was discovered last night by terrified wassailers who reported that the road leading to the village just ended in a sort of gap. The vanishing follows several reports that the village had been working itself loose around the edges. Meanwhile, the council has issued an emergency statement in a bid to prevent a full-scale panic. It says that friends and relatives in the village are still contactable by phone, but they do not know they have been lost and must on no account be told.
On the Hour, delivering the news goods in the season of good news.
In a moment, a seasonal thought for the day from Monsignor Trebe Lopez. But first, Anni Domino 1992. What kind of year was it? Who's been and gone? And what exactly happened? Behold, part one of the On the Hour Year in News.
This year started in January, when almost immediately there was news of a major blunder in Europe, in which Great Britain lost the dates January the 10th, May the 8th, June the 22nd and August the 6th in a disastrous bet with other community members. The wager, made when the British delegate ran out of money at the Brussels Dog Stadium, was lost outright, with the Germans, French and Spanish gleefully adding the extra dates to their own calendars and laughing at the now sadly diminished 361-day British year. February, and more difficulties for Mr. Yeltsin as his enemies in the Kremlin brought the struggling Russian government to its knees. Although clearly bitter, the beleaguered president vowed to carry on with new objectives.
I'm distraught. It seems very strange that elected representatives of the people can do this to the people. And I must talk to my advisers and hopefully we'll come up with a plan which at least will save football in Maidstone.
News ambition.
In March, unprecedented chaos hit the railways as drivers stopped their engines and refused to drive them any further in a protest over dangerous lines. A spokesman explained, "If you look down the track, the rails get closer together towards the horizon. With fixed-gauge rolling stock, this gradual narrowing is likely to derail our trains."
Late March, and with election fever at bursting point, Labour's strategy blew up in its face when it was revealed that in making one of the most shocking political broadcasts ever shown, Robin Cook had deliberately thrown a child off a cliff.
364 yesterdays today.
August the 18th, and a dark night for the film world when at a dinner to launch his new film Chaplin, Richard Attenborough stood up and exploded. October was dominated throughout by the televised live contest between Bobby Fischer and Boris Spassky to see who could pee highest up a wall in Yugoslavia. And then in December, the nation was stunned when the dramatic contents of the Queen's Christmas speech were leaked by the press.
"This year, I am speaking to you not from Buckingham Palace, but from a cross. And it was from this house that my grandfather, King George V, and my father, curiously enough, used to service men and women."
part two of our news review in about 738 seconds. And if you've just joined us, it's Christmas. Christmas is the time of year in which much concern is expressed over pets given as presents. To discuss the issue, we've booked a line enabling us to telecommunicate with RSPCA representative Cindy Peters. Hello, Cindy.
Sandy. S-A-N-D-Y. Sandy.
Let's stick with Cindy, I prefer that. Cindy, the big RSPCA manager.
Yeah, hip bath.
Hip bath?
Sorry?
No problem. Let's start from basics so everyone knows what we're talking about. What is a dog?
It's an animal that actually lives with people.
They all have hair, don't they?
They've all got some fur on them.
Woof.
What problems arise when a dog is given as a gift?
The problems arise is the person who's giving it hasn't even thought it through of whether the person would actually like it.
This is really very bad behaviour indeed.
Well, yes, I mean, it is. It's absolutely thoughtless that people are still, even today in 1991, giving animals as pets.
What small percentage of the brain do you reckon is involved in this thoughtlessness?
I think that there's hardly any thought gone into it.
Less than 5%?
Oh, yes.
So, if you do give a dog as a present, what should you wrap it in?
A dog shouldn't be wrapped in anything. This is what a lot of people forget.
What about if it was in paper that smells of a dog?
No. The animal, the dog, has feelings. We don't wrap a person in a box with a pretty bow on the top.
Now, if somebody does receive an unwanted dog, the best way to get rid of it must be to dump it on a motorway.
I honestly would say that it's just disgusting, and it is not an effective method. There are other ways of being effective.
There are dual carriageways as well?
Yes, that's right.
And railway lines?
Yeah, I mean, people throw them out.
How can you get rid of it?
You've got Animal Concern, you've got Canine Defence League, you've got voluntary organisations.
Yeah, well, I must say, I'm not surprised.
Sorry?
I'd always had my suspicions about those kind of organisations. Thanks very much for joining us, whoever you were.
On the Hour, facing the facts from a bowl of bread sauce.
Now, Christmas may mean a time of rest for most of us, but for some, it's just another hard day's work. Our team of out-and-about reporters has been scattered far and wide to seek out the heroes without whom the country would grind to its knees. First, Jimmy Tinker has been to Leicester.
That's absolutely right. I'm talking to some very special people, and here's one of them. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
What's your name?
Stan.
Well, Stan, the reason you're special is because while our present wrappings are lying about deep and crisp and even,
yes,
you here will be hard at work. Now, what work will you be doing on Christmas Day?
I'll be home on Christmas Day.
What work will you be doing on Christmas Day?
Very little, very little.
Nice joke. Now, when you come along here on Christmas morning, what time are you going to start work?
Christmas morning?
Yes, that's right.
You only shop here Christmas morning. You're wrong, really.
Oh.
Jimmy Tinker. And Rodney Pugh has been at large in Bristol.
Well, of course, that's absolutely right, you see, because I've come down to Hospital Porter HQ with someone very special. What's your name?
Harry.
And you're very special, aren't you? Because while we're all enjoying Christmas, with the wrapping paper lying about deep and crisp and even, you'll be working extremely hard. So, at 9 o'clock on Christmas morning, you come in here...
No, not here, no. Must be at home, I expect, I hope.
So you're not working Christmas after all?
No, I should be at home.
Well, despite all that, hello.
Hello.
Green Desk.
Green news update from me, Rosie May. Sweat. Scientists at the International Sweat Research and Smelling Centre, Diyarbakir, Turkey, have stumbled across an amazing new fact. Apparently, far from trying to eradicate sweat with newfangled deodorants, we should actually encourage it. Sweat contains special gases of some kind that help the ozone layer. It's no coincidence that the sweatiest people on planet Earth are the French, and that the ozone layer is at its strongest directly over their capital city, Paris.
Green Desk.
Have sex with me and save a tree, says Lombard Gnarly of Vancouver. He invites anyone to have sex with him and save a tree. Lombard is a lumberjack, and any time he spends having sex will be time he can't spend destroying the Earth's environment.
Environmental news. If it's green, we'll cover it.
Well, I'm joined now by Alan Partridge for a review of the year's sport. Alan, I gather you've just been sick.
You're not wrong there. I certainly was sick a couple of hours ago, funnily enough, and, I don't know, mixing of drinks and food and whatnot. It was a bit of a lethal cocktail, and certainly a lot of that came out in one big...
Emesis nemesis.
You might say that. Anyway, I've got quite an amusing story about Christmases of the past. The turkey we were going to have was... I was supposed to go and pick it up, and I put it in the back of the car, which was going to take it to...
Can you hurry, please? We're running out of time.
Yeah, I'll just hurry. And put it in the back of the car, and it was the wrong car. So this car drove off, the wrong turkey in. Yeah, just went... we never saw it again, basically. We had to get another one. We had to buy another one.
Is that what happened? Is that all that happened, then? You just put a turkey in the wrong car?
Yeah, it was at the time. You know, you had to laugh about it.
Surely there must have been something else which happened, which made this event worth recounting.
It was a long time ago, isn't it? I think something else probably happened, like someone fell over or something. Yeah, it was very funny, yeah. Yeah. I seem to remember now. It's coming back. Someone did fall over. Yeah.
And happy Christmas, Alan.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Well, on that cheery note, let's have a look back at some of the other cheery events. Thanks, Chris. I feel a lot better.
Start the tape.
I wonder who it was who said, if a week is a long time in politics, then a year is 12 months in sport. I wonder. I am Alan Partridge, and this is my year of sport. Welcome. You join us here as Manchester United and Liverpool, the two giants, battle it out at the derby, or, well, not near derby, of two teams who are quite close, battling for the prize, which is a result in this case, down there on the pitch. And I've got to say, it's foggy, very foggy. It's adding in a way to the atmosphere, the fog here hanging like some sort of grey flannel, dirty grey flannel hanging here on a sort of, if you imagine the pitch is a towel rail, obviously a big one, big towel rail with a big grey flannel hanging. No, I can't see much. That's the main problem here. A lot of fog, certainly hanging fog. A great match. Earlier on this year, my wife said to me, Alan, you've gone to the dogs. And in a way, she was right, because what a magnificent year it's been for dog racing. And they're off. Number five straight into the lead there. A very well-bred hound running there right in front of the other dogs. There's the rabbit, or the hare, whatever. He's after that. Not a real one, of course, thank goodness, as these greyhounds or whippets are, whatever they are, doing really well. All racing round in a corner. Thank goodness it's not a real hare or a rabbit, because I tell you, I've seen some of those things happen. I've seen some of those poor old rabbits and hares, and they just get hold of them and tear them to pieces. Not a nice thing. Just tear them. Little bunny. All being torn by dogs. Horrid. Anyway, there they are. Round the course. And I'm just so relieved it's not a real rabbit, honestly. Because it's just not right. You know, some of them live for hours. It's terrible. Anyway, and here they come. In motor racing, the cars were truly on form. Formula One style. Mansell closely followed by Prost, followed by Senna, Berger, Piquet. Mansell's held it all the way. It's very difficult to see how he can lose the lead now. I was right. He's still in the lead. Mansell is in the lead, followed by Senna, Prost, Berger and Piquet. And some others behind them, some foreign but quite good racing drivers following him. Amazing. But here comes Mansell. He's still in the lead with Senna and Prost and Berger, just like before. In the same row, Mansell looks like he's going to win. Through the chicane. On all the others, through the chicane. Amazing. Mansell, Senna, just the same. Amazing. Through the chicane. Amazing. This is Alan Partridge. and these are my sports. They've been good, they've been fast, they've been clean. Let's keep it that way in the coming year. Goodbye and good sport.
Fine and just sentiments, Al. Cheers very much indeed.
On the hour, still very much concerned with important events, despite the seasonal levity.
The time is 3 from the first quarter with minutes. In a moment, news. But first, over to Suzanne Charlton at the BBC Weather Centre. I gather we're in for a rather mild day today, Suzanne.
Strong winds, yes. It's going to feel rather chilly. Temperatures 14 to 13 to 15 to 16 to 70 degrees Celsius, generally about 12 degrees. Some sheltered eastern areas seeing a fair amount of sunshine in between a few whales. They're quite heavy. The bulk of them coming along later in the day to the north, they'll really gather together to give prolonged spells of whales. Could cause some structural damage. And by this evening, over the top of the Snowdonia, there could well be some degrees.
Thank you, Suzanne. And now the continuity announcer has news of Radio 4's programmes coming up later on today.
In half an hour, just after 11 o'clock, Jonathan Hewitt opens his Christmas box of bloopers, including David Wells's classic report from war-torn Beirut, in which he says, "This is David Wells reporting live from Beirut," and is then killed by a sniper's bullet. Then, at 12:30, it's vintage comedy in Christmas Smash of the Day. From the Light Programme's comedy archive, we present a classic episode of Money Box, that maelstrom of anarchic humour from Louise Botting and her team of rogues.
Home income plans seemed the answer.
15% per annum before tax.
But are you covered by your motor policy? And the subject is small business. From me, Louise Botting, goodbye.
Louise Botting, and her fiscal totting will stop your finance plotting, so you can afford to go yachting. Frankly, I am hotting to do some frotting with horny Louise Botting. Oh, yes, I want to go frotting with horny Louise Botting.
That's half an hour of classic comedy at 12:30 here on Radio 4.
And there's just time for an SOS message. It's about an immediate family who have been lost in the Dulwich area. They're called the Harrises, and they were lost by Mr. Gavin Harris this morning when they fell out of his car as they rounded a corner.
It's 8 o'clock on Wednesday, the 16th of October.
And the news today, fighting. Plus, lined up on the next reel, why Bradford City Council have decided to poison all taxi drivers.
They have parked, and they have parked, and they have parked. They will not park again.
And we will be asking how a non-commercial organisation like the BBC can broadcast advertisements like this.
Oi, fatso! If you're packing too much lard, then you'll know just how it feels to be called nicknames like Dough Planet, Wobble Hobble and Celluloid City. But starting next week, only in The Sun, a brand new series of Already Kebab the Flab, as we reveal the full secrets behind the Terry Waite diet. Just how did Tubby Terrence shrink from Mr. Maskazak to Terry the Twig? What did his ballard do for his belly? Or did he just look larger then because he was stuck with guns to swap for hostages? Find out next week, only in The Sun, as we serialise the ultimate Weight Watchers diet.
But first, the news, and more on Education Secretary Kenneth Clark's campaign to stop parents lying to their children. Civil Service truth detectives have been visiting schools to warn children about the parental dishonesty. This interview was recorded in an infant's playground in Brighton.
Right, who do you believe comes down the chimney on Christmas Eve?
Father Christmas. He's going to give me presents.
Who told you this?
My mummy and my daddy.
Well, I'm afraid your mummy and daddy have told you a wicked lie. Father Christmas does not exist. Do you understand?
No.
He doesn't exist. Right, repeat after me. Mummy and daddy are very bad liars.
Mummy and daddy are very bad liars.
If they ever tell me such rubbish again, I'll report them to the police.
If they do it, watch me, we'll report them to the police.
Good.
On the hour, choice morsels from a broad kitchen.
And now Monsignor Trebe Lopez with his Christmas thought for the day.
A dog barks, a cat meows. What do you do?
Monsignor Trebe Lopez. Now, Christmas is also a time for relaxation. Here's Glenn Cairns with his weekly roundup of advice on taking a break.
It's time to go away on a jolly holiday. Go away, go away, bloody go away.
And a warm, nay, festive felicitation to you and your kith on this Christmas morning. Pearls, indeed, pigs of wisdom offered today on how to go away on Boxing Day. But first, Barry Simpson will reach deep into his hamper and produce a feast of facts about ferries.
Thanks very much. And Seawood Ferries are offering a 30% discount to passengers who hand over their car keys to the crew as they get on board. This is so the crew can race up and down the car deck during the journey, which the company say will boost low staff morale. Litany Ferries are offering a midnight mass service on all-night crossings. Ticket price includes a free wafer host for each passenger with a Golden Boss Company logo stamped on the back. And don't forget B&Z's very reasonable stowaway rate. You can cross the channel for £20 return, providing you don't go inside, and that you sleep in what little shelter you can find on the deck. To keep you warm, a bowl of hot punch will be on display in the bar, clearly visible through a big window. And that's it.
Thank you, Barry. Now you can go and have a shave. Now, if you've taken an emotional nosedive into a deep hibernal gloom, a spoonful of holiday planning is probably just the fillip you need. And here with a panacean prescription is Gregory Shape with a resort report.
Yes, well, I'm standing next to Good Times expert. What's your name?
Mr. Humphreys.
Mr. Humphreys, for our resort report. What do you make of the facilities around here?
They're all right for shopping.
Not so good for the average holidaymaker.
Not really for a holidaymaker, no.
Is there much fun to be had, yeah?
Depends what you mean by fun, I mean.
Would this be any help? Is that any good for anybody?
What?
Does that add to the fun?
Oh, a bit of banging.
All right, Mr. Humphreys, thanks for standing around with us and dwelling on this resort.
And a very good bus service, yeah.
Our gratitude to Gregory. Now, there's a veritable potpourri of seasonal events over the next few days. We've pinched a choice nosegay from among the dried petals with this resume of some of the Yuletide festivities. And the Saffron Walden Pig Hunt is this Sunday in Saffron Walden. At dawn, 78,000 pigs will be released into the area, and you'll have all day to look for them. The organisers say they want a better result than last year, when only 12 out of 50,000 pigs were recovered. The All England Under 5 Judo Weekend starts this Saturday in Buxton in Derbyshire. The youngsters are very skilled for their age, but still pretty easy to throw around. So if you're feeling pent up or angry, why not go along and have a fight with an Under 5? Admission is free. And if it's the outdoors you're after, the Wiltshire Bollards meet in Swindon tomorrow at 10:30. There's a shortage of bollards in the area, so come dressed in white and orange markings and be a bollard for the day. Coffee and biscuits. Well, that pretty much renders the carcass to an acceptable stock for today. Just remains for me to point out that the police have told us they're expecting most roads to be empty, which means presumably that there won't be too many police about either, and you'll probably be able to go out for a 150-mile-an-hour burn on most A roads. I particularly recommend the A44 near Chipping Norton.
Yes, it's time to go away on the jolly holiday. Go away, go away, bloody go away.
Thanks very much indeed to Glenn Cairns and the Go Away team. Now, the year that was still is, but not for long. When today is next year, how will we remember the last 12 months? Here's the end of it. High summer in July and the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games etched a deep crevice into the world's brain. At the climax of the historic pageant, the Olympic flame was lit by opera singer Jose Carreras, who was set on fire on the stadium floor and catapulted 150 feet up into a cauldron of inflammable gas. Madonna, never far from the headlines, was front page news again in September when she released an album consisting entirely of her own burps, accompanied by a book of graphic photographs of herself burping. At the Tory conference in October, a beleaguered John Major, fighting both the miners and a stricken pound, did his best to rally the party faithful with a rousing display of inspirational rhetoric.
That is our programme for the 90s. Let me put it for you in a single phrase. First, peace at any price, either piecemeal, nor in part, nor in whole. Never, not today, not ever, once and for all.
182 and a half hours of newscasting.
November the 23rd, and Silence of the Lambs actor Anthony Hopkins, touring Britain in a deer suit to publicise road safety, was run over on the M62. But November will perhaps be best remembered as a month of religious turmoil, as the General Synod of the Church of England voted to allow badgers to be ordained as ministers. Early December saw the start of yet another bleak month for the royal family when, due to a wiring fault, the Queen Mother caught fire and blazed for 2 days. Prince Andrew fearlessly braved the heat to retrieve vital organs for palace officials to place in safe storage. And then, on Christmas Day itself, the Queen addressed the Commonwealth in a speech that revealed more than a little of the strain of her annus horribilis.
I first came here for Christmas as a grandchild. My great-grandfather, King Edward VII, used to bring food and try to put it behind us. Nowadays, my grandchildren come here for the sauce, tension and violence.
And finally, a rather different kind of Christmas from, where else? America, where, as CBN's Barbara Wintergreen reports, they're celebrating Christmas with conviction.
Yo, ho, ho!
No, it's not Santa's grotto at Macy's. It's the prison cell of convicted mass murderer Daimler Jeffries. Daimler goes to the electric chair on Christmas Day and has requested a very special set of sleigh bells.
Well, I've always been someone who's taken out of society and never put anything in ever in my whole goddamn life. So I thought it would be a real nice treat for the kids if I went to the electric chair dressed as Santa Claus.
So Daimler has invited children from the local orphanage to attend Milwaukee's first state Santa-cution. And while Daimler fries thick and crisp and even, fairy lights around the chair will glow in a festive pattern. Prison Governor Keith Tichio.
It's the most unusual occurrence, certainly in my time as governor. People kind of all clubbing together and giving this guy a real good send-off. And for instance, we asked a local pet center for a reindeer. They didn't have one, but they donated a raccoon and a set of antlers, which is, you know, kind of typical.
Four-year-old Mary Jo Brooke pulls the lever, and Daniel moves from death row to his death throes. This is one Santa Claus the kids will very definitely see go up the chimney. Barbara Wintergreen, CBN News, Milwaukee Penitentiary.
And there's just time to look at your top five votes for the quotes of the year. In fifth position was Cardinal Basil Hume's "Shove off butt crust." Fourth, "I'm no Teddy Kennedy" from Teddy Kennedy. Third, you, Kenneth Clark. And second, "Do stop throwing those ice creams at my wife" from Terry Waite. And first, "It was easy. I just aimed the barrel at his nostrils and pumped half a kilo of lead into his big, stupid face. I know it was wrong, but I'm happy now" from Frank Sinatra. That's me. It's Christopher Morris. And whoever you are, Happy New Year.